Again, very grateful to be able to get up here, to be able to speak God's word, to have the honor to be able to read from His word, to bring forth His message to those that desperately need it. I'm talking to myself in most of these times. This lesson tonight is for me probably more than what it is for you. In the book of James, in chapter 4, verse 7, the lesson tonight is entitled, Submit Yourselves to God. In James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, Submit yourselves then to God. Then he says, Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What? He will flee from you if you resist him? He's not going to hang around? Oh. Verse 8. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? You see, we need this in order to help us focus to continue in our walk of faith in everyday life. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're at, we constantly look to God's word to help us to strive to do better, to be more godly, to act as Christ acted. Look with me in the book of Titus in chapter 2, in verse 11. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, for the grace of, or Titus here, a friend and a helper of Paul, is who we're talking about here. But Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ for his elect, is writing this letter to Titus, my true son in common faith, he says. This means that he has a relationship with Titus, that they have a profound likeness. They understand the same thing, and they really enjoy fellowship with one another. In verse 11 here in chapter 2, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself us, or who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. In verse 15, he then says these, then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. He tells us here that God's grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness, so that when we are told out in the world, you should be following us, you should be doing what we tell you to do, not what that book says. You're just a Bible thumper if you're reading that book and just going by it. No, God's word is true. It's gracious. It's humble. It's wonderful. It's appeasing to you and I if we will accept it in the manner that He has given it to us. Jesus Christ was the one who came and died for you and I. We should look to Him for the answers that we need. We talked this morning about how gracious He was and the good things that He done for us. We are members of Him by being baptized into His death, burial, and His resurrection. Therefore, we are to act according to His will, His plan. for you and I, we have this scripture. We have the Bible to look at to help you and I to make sure that we're on the right track, that we are choosing the way that God has chosen for us, not the way that mankind is choosing for us, not the way that we might have thought before we were baptized into Christ. I want to explain to you in 2 Corinthians, if you would go there with me, in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. We spoke on this a little bit in our class this morning out here in the auditorium. I want to dig into this. In chapter 8 in 2 Corinthians, in verse 9, he says here, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." You see, Christ was with our Lord, with our God. He is God. He is higher. He is above everything. And yet, he settled for poverty. Where was he born at? In a manger. In a barn. He came up as a carpenter's son, as nothing. Like we are. Just common folk. Not nothing to splendor at. Not a king. Not sitting on his crown, pointing and saying, "Do this and do that. For I say to do this and you do that." No. He came and took on the life of poverty so that you and I could be rich with him in heaven later on. This story, the writing here, the generosity, the encouragement that he is giving to the Corinthian church here, letting them know how much Christ loved them, what he has done for them, saying, "Look, there is more to this than what you're thinking. There is way more. God has humbled himself to come here and present himself as nothing. So you should submit yourself to him. Understand that his will is your way. That's your life from now on. Not what you wanted to do. Not what you thought was best. Not what makes you feel good about yourself. But what makes you feel good that you're doing Christ's work. That you are observing his law. You are doing what he commands, not what we desire, not what we look to for the goodness or the wholesomeness that we might think that we might need." While we're close by, switch over a couple pages to Galatians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 13. It says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, by Christ coming, living the life he did, by dying the death he did on that tree that he was hung on, he done that for purpose. The tree is cursed because those that die on that tree are a symbol of nothing but pure sin, pure negativity. When someone was hung on a tree, they didn't even want them being left there overnight because they didn't want a bypasser to see them on the tree. Because their shame was that much that it would take your good thoughts of God away from you by seeing that sin that they was on the tree. That's what Christ Jesus did for you and I. And when someone calls on you and I and says, "You should do as we do because we know more than what these writers of the Bible did because they was in a different time zone than what we're in." Has anything changed over time? Is there anything that's different? Yeah, we have technology. We should be able to find Scripture easier with the technology. We should be able to look to God more with the technology. But the technology is being used to destroy Christ, to destroy the church, to take the church away by showing negativity, by showing immoral situations, by bringing us away from God. We can choose what we choose to look at, what we choose to see most of the time. Sometimes it comes up and you don't even know what's going on. It just pops up. You see, the things are the same here that was going on then. There was poverty. There was nakedness. There was shame. There was lust. There was evil desires. There was murder. There was strife. There was stealing. It happened here. It's still happening today, just the same. It's a choice of an individual what they make, what their desires are, what they choose to do. We're given the opportunity, as our brother James says in chapter 4, verse 7, to submit to God and flee. The devil will flee from you. You see, when we are outside of God, when we are outside of His realm where we should be, in Christ Jesus, living our life for Him, for God through Jesus Christ, when we walk outside of that and choose to do what the world chooses for us, that's when the devil gets to come in. We allow him a foothold to grab us and drag us in by that. We can't do that. We have the opportunity to submit to God. We have the opportunity to humble ourselves before the Lord, as James says, as Titus says. God's grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. I want to look at another scripture here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, right quick. We're pretty close to that, not far off. Swing over a couple pages and look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Everything that I say to you today comes from Scripture. It's not from me. That's what we need for ourselves. That's what Russell needs, is to go to Scripture when things are happening in his job, when things are happening in his family, when things are going on out in the world, when you're looking and you're getting down and you're going, man, this world is just pure evil and it's so terrible, and you're just, your heart is aching and you just want to give up. You look to Scripture and say, what does the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 tell me? See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on the principles that Jesus Christ gave you and I. He gave you and I exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to die to our old self. We're supposed to die with that sin in us. And when we come up a new person, we no longer have that sin any longer. We're a new individual. We are Christ-like. We are God-like at that point. It's a helpful notion to know that His Word comforts us. His Word gives us the instructions that we need. Go back to the book of 2 Corinthians and look in chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 in verse 7, the Apostle Paul here is talking. He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is a thorn in His flesh." In verse 7 it says, "There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." In verse 8 he says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me," I want you to hear what He says, "but He said to me, the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know exactly what Paul went through. It states for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, right over here, what he went through. He says, I have worked much harder in verse 23. In chapter 11, verse 23, he said, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Then he goes on to say, five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles. I've been in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold, I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. You see, he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit when things get tough. When things are looking bad, when all the stuff is going on around him, what is he doing? He's striving forward, not backwards. He's not looking behind him, but he's looking to God for the answers to help him get through this. He goes on in chapter 12 here to say, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and in insults and in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because he is going to God, getting the strength that he needs, the courage that he needs to keep striving forward. You see, a lot of times we just drag ourselves down, and we continue to drag down because we leave God. We allow ourselves to be pulled away by walking a different path. I give up. I'm just tired of it. I can't take no more. The Apostle Paul is a great example for you and I to look to see what we're supposed to do. Go with me to the book of Hebrews right quick. And look what the Hebrew writer writes in chapter 10. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 and verse 24, the writer says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You see, we are to meet together as much as possible. We are to be together as like-minded brothers and sisters just as much as we possibly can. Doesn't mean we can always be together, that we're always going to be there to be able to do stuff together, to be able to worship together. But as much as you physically possibly can, he says that's what we need to do. And to spur one another on, it means to encourage one another. So, hey, I missed you. Hey, why wasn't you here? What happened? I seen that something happened. Can I help you do anything? Do you need a ride? What is it that needs to be done to get you with us so that we can be together, so we can be like-minded, so we can love Christ the way that he loved us? The Hebrew writer here is brilliant in the way that he describes this. He's letting us know that we must profess our faith, that we must continue to be faithful in verse 23. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. You see, that is God. He promised us salvation, eternal life, if we choose to walk in His steps, if we choose to be a part of Him. It's our choice. We get to make that choice whether or not we want to follow Him or not. He did His part. It's our time to do our part. And it doesn't mean that we can do it just today and then skip for a whole week and come back and start all over again and it's all okay. It's a daily walk. It's daily thinking. It's by minute, by seconds. The things we do, what happens makes a huge difference in our lives for others. James tells us all kinds of stuff that we need to know. He explains to us how our tongue can be the disastrous thing that it is by saying things without thinking them through, without going to God first, without looking to Him for the answers. He tells us how that tongue is just like a little tiny spark that can start a forest fire. And it messes up a lot of stuff. It destroys families. It destroys friendships. It destroys the chance for a brother or sister to be pulled in so that they can see the goodness that Christ has for you and I. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I got a couple scriptures here in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and of self-discipline." We discipline ourselves by wanting to look to God for the answers. He gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gave that to us freely. We didn't have to die for it. We didn't have to suffer. We didn't have to take lashes on our back. We didn't have a crown of thorns put on our head. We wasn't beaten with rods. He did that without us asking Him to do it. Come freely. And said, "You have this Spirit. I'm going to give it to you. You have it. This Spirit has power. It has love. And it gives you self-discipline. All you have to do is look to it to find the answers." When you go to the Spirit, when you go to the source, you can find it. You have the strength, the courage, everything that you and I need to be able to get through the situations that we're in. Look at chapter 2 in 2 Timothy in verse 15. He says here, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." See, that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we are supposed to live our lives, like He wants us to. And if you live your life this way, if you continue in your walk with Jesus Christ in this way, in chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, in verse 7, Apostle Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing." Do you long for Christ's appearing? Are you looking forward to that moment when He comes and He says, "I'm taking you with me to my home, to our new home. I'm going to show you what you was promised. This is the true promised land." I have one more scripture, and it is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. He says here, this is Peter, which before all of this, before he wrote, he was one that would stick his foot in his mouth. He was quick to jump up and quick to get in and do things and think he was right without using his mind that Christ gave him, that God gave him. and allowing Him to think things through, and then go in and figure out what he needed to do. This is the same Peter that was that guy before, that denied Jesus 3 times, that walked away from him, and Jesus came back and said, "Here I am. I haven't left you, Peter. You left me." And Peter dove in the water and swam to him, happy to see him. "You didn't leave me. You love me that much. I'm so happy to see you." Then Peter transformed himself and became the Apostle Peter that we know and love, the one who teaches us here. Listen to what he says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." You see, this love that Jesus Christ has for you and I, the wonderful knowledge that He has given you and I through this Holy Spirit of His, the life that we are able to live, the godliness that we have and the knowledge that we have, and the glory and the goodness that He gave us, is what we go to, what we look to help us get through any situations that we may be in any time in our lives. And then, through these, He gives us the precious promises that we can spend eternity with Him in heaven, that we don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to feel bad anymore. You don't have to cry anymore. There's no more tears. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. It's only goodness that He gives us at this point. We can battle Satan. We can win if we choose to follow God and follow His knowledge by looking to His Word of His Son who came and lived here just like you and I have done. And He was spotless, blameless. He didn't have no sin about Him until He went to the cross and took it on His shoulders that belonged to you and I. His love, His mercy, His knowledge, His understanding is more precious than anything that we have here on this earth. As we leave here tonight, think about these things as we go through our week this week, as we work, as we go to school, as whatever we're doing, no matter where it is, if you go to the grocery store. When someone cuts you off driving down the road, when they run the stop sign and you nearly get hit, instead of saying something that you shouldn't say, having that empty feeling, look to God and say, "Thank you for not allowing me to be in a wreck at this time." Would you be with that individual that ran that stop sign and help them, instead of what normally happens, the screaming, the hollering, the saying things that we shouldn't say and we shouldn't do? If anybody needs anything, if anybody doesn't know Christ in this way and know His goodness and His love and His mercy, as we stand up and sing the song of invitation, this is your time to come forward. You can ask for prayers, whatever you need, and we will make sure that your wishes are well taken care of.